You in the church this morning. It is summertime, so we have more empty seats than normally. I hope that's what it is. But glad to see you here. Glad to see everyone here. And if you are visiting us, we are glad to have you back. The beautiful decoration, at least part of it, there's going to be more decorations later. Now, after these services, it's going to be for, they are for Vacation Bible School, as we already told you. Lots of voices, lots of laughter, lots of action going on here before too long. And this is actually one reason for this message that I have prepared for this Sunday morning. It is about children and other family members in your family and the family of the church. And maybe I'm able to say a few words on strong families in the Bible. What are strong families? What are the characteristics of a strong families, Christian families? I know it's a big title. Let's see if we can say something about it. Now, children are part of the family. They're part of the church family and they're part of your family. Sure are. They are in the church. They are not just somebody that we are expecting them to grow up fast and soon so they can be productive church members in the future. No, they are members already. They are members of the church functions and ministries and life already. When you read your Bible, you realize that there is about families from the beginning to the end. So family is important to God. Families are God's plan for this world. Children are important to God. This is why in the gospel this morning, Jesus is addressing especially to us grown-ups as he addressed to his disciples. This verse begins, "But," Jesus said, this "but" referring that he heard something different first, and now he's addressing to his disciples who actually told children to go away from Jesus. "You are interrupting, you are disturbing Jesus, you are disturbing when we are having good time with Jesus, listening to him speak and teaching us. You are running back and forth, you are making too much sounds and voices. Go away." Now Jesus said, ho, no. Here's what Jesus says. "Let the little children come to me. Don't stop them. Do not stop them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children." Amen. Now, this is something we have read. I'm sure you have read this hundreds of times, as I have. But there's something that, as it happens every time when you are reading and rereading the gospel and rereading the Bible, It always speaks to you a little bit different way, maybe. And you kind of learn something new about it. So to me, the revelation was, putting it simple, to Jesus, and also to us, should be that way, Jesus believed and knew that children come naturally to him. It is something very natural that children come to Jesus. They come to Jesus. What our part is about their coming to Jesus, not to stop them. That may be your children ministry. If you are trying to figure out how to get involved in children ministry and you don't know how to get involved in children ministry, don't let children come to Jesus. That may be part of it. Children comes naturally to Jesus. And we parents and grown-ups just need to allow them to come because they come to Jesus. I've been working with Jesus and in church, Jesus and children, the church setting for a long time, obviously also with Jesus. But, and I have seen it many times. I come to Sunshine Friends, having my pastor's time and Pastor Timo time with them. When you read Bible stories and you welcome children to step into that story, guess what happened? They come right away to Jesus. You don't have to demand them or force them. You should never do that. They come naturally to Jesus. And this is what Jesus reminds us. Let them come. Allow them to come to me, because something natural for children to come to me. And then he said, by the way, all who come to me like these children are part of the kingdom of God. We are to become one like a child to come, become a part of kingdom of God. Sometimes parents don't get it. I don't want to hurt your feelings, parents. I've been parent, I'm parent myself. Sometimes we don't get it. Sometimes churches don't get this. Why I'm saying this? Because we underestimate the spiritual longing of children. We underestimate how they can understand. We underestimate the spiritual needs of children. We put them on the back seat, or we don't pay attention enough for them. Children come naturally to Jesus. We must just allow them come to Jesus, okay? Family's role is to nurture our faith and nurture the faith of children, providing love and support, because guess what? These qualities are a reflection upon who God is and his ideas and ideals and plans for the family. Family can also be a challenge to every family member, including children. Challenging us to build it strong, healthy relationship within the family unit. And there is no such a thing than perfect family. And if you say your family is perfect or you grew up in the perfect family, I'm sorry, but I don't believe in you. I don't think there is such a thing than perfect family at all. And God doesn't want our families to be perfect. He came down here to imperfect people, to save the imperfect people, to love imperfect family, to support imperfect families. There's one thing that God wants from us as families. He wants us to be godly families, which is to say, needing for God for everything we do, including raising our children and dealing with one another. Being Christ-centered families, that is what he's asking from you. He's not asking us to be perfect families because he knows better than that. There is no such a thing than perfect family. We all are falling short in certain areas. Story, I grew up in a big family, in large family, with 8 children. I have told you many of you know it. Actually, we were 9 children, but the oldest boy passed away at age 2, before my time, though. It wasn't perfect family, but it was good family and safe family. But it wasn't perfect family. I never saw my father or mother drinking or being in drunk, because they didn't do that. They didn't drink or having parties. No, they didn't. I never heard my parents fighting over matters or nonsense. They were arguing to each other on matters, having different opinions. I believe most of the time my mother ended up winning it, but they were arguing over matters once in a while. But I didn't grow up in a fighting family myself. They were too busy for that. I never heard the word divorce from my parents. I'm divorcing you. We got a divorce. I never heard that word in my family. I don't recall hearing that word from my parents. Many things work out naturally, so to speak, within our family circle. There's lots of common sense used as far as I remember. Again, it wasn't perfect family. I just realized that especially my mother used to challenge us to think it. Think it now, think about it a little bit. When she heard us saying something about our ideas to do something, and she knew that it's not going to work out that way. So they kind of allow us to make mistakes Mistake is not the worst thing in the world. Everybody makes mistakes. You make mistakes. I make mistakes. They allow us to make mistakes, at least up to a certain level, so that we now knew that it was the wrong thing to do, so we can make corrections and do it better. There are some biblical foundations for families in the Bible. The Bible is full of biblical references, what the family is all about in God's eyes. Also, beginning from the creation story, this is Genesis 2:24. This is God saying, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. From the beginning, the word of God says. So this is to say that before any other institutions were created or planned, God decided to start a family. Why it was so important to God? Family was right in the middle of God's thinking and planning all the way. Before nations, before kingdoms, without other civilized societies, before any languages got started, before anything else we call community, organization, civilization, family was the first in God's planning. Because God wants families to be the cornerstones to build on for anything else we believe is civilized in our communities. Family is very important to God. Very important to God. Even Christ's church is called the family of God. The family of Christ. The body of Christ. Unity. Family. Very important thing. Paul continues teaching and addressing both our individual families at home and at the church. Sometimes it goes, you don't know which one he's talking about. Sometimes he brings them together because same qualities, same gifts, same attitude fits to both of these institutions. Here's what Paul says in Ephesians 6:1-4. He says, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you, lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. I told in the first service, when I go to heaven by the grace of God and I see Paul, I'm going to ask him, did you miss one word here in your epistle when he says, making allowance for each other's faults? And I was going to ask him, but did you miss the word with the many faults? You see what I'm saying? Each other's faults. Each other's many, many, many faults. Because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, building yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. Let's break it down. In your family, in my family, in our church family, we've been called to be part of this. You didn't just decide to walk in and I'm here. No, you were called to become part of God's family. Same thing with your physical family, your immediate, your home family, however you say it. You've been called to be part of it. You were born. You are the miracle of your family. Whether you were born into family, were adopted in the family, you are a miracle. You are a miracle in God's eyes to become part of that family. So that makes us humble. No wonder Paul says, be humble and be gentle. You are witnessing a miracle. You are part of God's plan and miracle. You're part of family, family of God, at home and here at the church. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your what? Of your love. Of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, building yourselves together with peace. That's hard work sometimes. Push hard. Make every effort to keep yourself united. United, being together, united. In the Spirit, building yourselves together with peace. When peace is gone, it's not good. Whether if peace is gone from your home or peace is gone from the church, it is not promising something good. No. For there is one body and one spirit. It means this is God's thing. Your family, some of you came to church with your family. Look around. Your family is God's thing. It is your creation. It is not your plan. It's a God thing. You are witnessing miracle to being part of your family. Same thing at the church. You are witnessing a miracle. Think about it. You are part of God's family. How in the world that is possible? Because you are impossible. You be called to be part of God's family, such as you have been called to a glorious hope for the future. That's where you are at when you are part of God's family. And your physical family, human family. Then Apostle John, who's been called Apostle of Love or Disciple of Love, he says here in the 1 John 3:18, he says, listen to this. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. I know John doesn't mean that okay, you can't say you love each other. Yes, you can. But not merely say this. Just saying this. Here's what he says. Let us show the truth by your actions. By your actions. Prove it. So John is not referring to Hollywood love, today this and tomorrow that, saying lots of and bunch of words without no meaning whatsoever. Unfortunately, many of us being taught more by Hollywood than the Bible, which is so sad thing. Show your love by your actions. Now, going back to challenges facing families today, if you say to him, I don't know, Pastor, I don't know what you are talking about. We never had any challenges whatsoever. We are living a dream. No family, no problem whatsoever. No, you got a problems. You have challenges as everybody else in your family. But we must face and we must realize the pressure and challenges families face today, as it always has faced some challenges. Read your Bible, you figure it out. Challenges can lead to conflict. We don't want that. But if they come, we need to deal with them. Lack of communications, we don't want that. But if something like that happens, we need to deal with it. Breakdowns and decline of family unit, which is a sad thing. We don't want that. It comes, if it comes, we need to deal with it. At home and here. How about divorces? Listen to this. According to statistics, over 50% of marriages here in the United States and also in the Western world will fail to the divorce because of divorce. That's a loss of divorces. That's a loss of sorry it didn't work out. That is loss of drama and tragic things. How tragic. When there is financial stress and financial causes hurting families, yes. I think we are living times like that. Lots of young families are having hard times. Lots of elderly people are having hard times. Financial problems. Then there are busy schedules and busyness of life affecting families. You say, Timo, now you are nailing it. In some cases, busy lifestyle inside the families is a man-made. It is just the adopted lifestyle. We gotta have busy, we gotta get busy, we gotta stay busy. Otherwise, we are not like everybody else. We want to stay busy. Sometimes it is reality. Many times it is reality. because of parents' work schedule. Maybe they are working different times of day. You gotta do what you gotta do. It's a good job. I work nights, I work early in the morning, I work late in the evening, or I'm missing my family. I gotta do it. It's my job. What about children's schedule and their hobbies, their sports? You have decided to provide your children. You make sure that they are part of activities and hobbies and creative things. You gotta do it. It's hard to balance this schedule, bring them together to make it sure that there is some kind of balance going on within your family. And families have been nowadays pulled in this way and that way, that direction and this direction. That's just the reality. One mother told me as we discussed about this very thing, she said, "Timo, I feel our family is just living and sitting in our van most of the time, coming from one place and heading to another place. Many times we are even eating in our van, eating our supper, eating our lunch sandwiches, and Saturdays, this is pretty much reality." And then she said, "Thank you, Jesus, for fast food restaurants." That's reality many times. Then there are these churches. Then there are these churches and the pastors and children ministers and youth ministers and music ministers and other ministers, and bless their hearts. Friends, bless their hearts, because they are trying so hard to get somewhere in the middle of this busy family schedule, like this one lady said, chaos of our family schedule. They are trying to meet somewhere there to offer guidance and programs and services and activities for children and youth and elderly, Bible studies, retreats, opportunities to grow together and to serve and to lead and to grow in a discipleship, to become one family of Christ, dear to God. And then occasionally, I mean, sometimes you hear people say, "Well, I know it, and I pray that at least occasionally I can make it there to enjoy this wonderful offer of ministries and involvement, getting involved, to receive all this nourishment and to be part of it, to grow as Christian disciples, to be better placed as I'm dealing with these challenges of my family and my life, with my children and folks at home." You've got to have a church on your side. But the church family has always been, and it will always be, a place where we can learn to overcome those challenges. This is what church is all about, because we are family, we are dealing with these challenges. And God can help families to overcome these challenges. One important thing is to deal with these challenges, to make sure we get our priorities right. You get yours and I got mine. Priorities right. If we let other people to run our schedule, they will definitely do it. And we never have time for matters like church and other programs because something else takes their place. So building strong family relationship, what does it take from me and from you, from us? I believe, according to the Bible, there are two important parts for us to remember how we can help to build strong family relationships. There are more than two, but I'm going to mention about two to us this morning. First is communication. Communication. And then the second is forgiveness. Information is just a one-way traffic. Communication is between two recipients. Same thing at your home and same thing at the church. Communication. When inquiry comes, when requests come, when question comes, to communicate, you respond, okay? When somebody, I'm struggling with it. I get about 150, 200 emails every day. Lots of emails. And then text messages and phone calls. I know sometimes I have to say I have missed it. But sometimes I can't say I miss it because I just can't miss it. Communication is important. God is a great communicator. He communicated salvation for us, love for us, grace for us, truth for us. He communicates all the time. The other thing along with communication is forgiveness. Another needed thing, forgiveness. These are both characteristics of God. How to communicate effectively in the family, at home, or in the church, it's a lifelong learning curve. We got to do it. We got to start from somewhere. How to learn to listen to your family members, including your children or your spouse. Lifelong learning curve. And how to learn to forgive to each other. Important and lifelong learning curve. But if you never start to learning, you will never learn it. This is the thing, friends. Let me share a story. My aunt was a strong Christian lady, sister to my father. She died at age 96. She raised her three children as a single parent. Her pastor, her minister husband, passed away with cancer at very young age. And she never remarried. I'm sure she got lots of offers. She never remarried. She was devoted. She devoted her time and life to raise her three children. Did a wonderful job. I was attending her 60th birthday when she turned 60. And I remember the little conversation, a little program there by these three children of hers. They told about their family routine when they were growing up. When they were children, as far as they remember, start remembering, and all the way through their teenage years, they were just 1 year apart about these three children. Came back to back. Yet we have every single night, we have family devotional led by my old mother, because she tried to be a mommy and daddy for the family. Every single night, family devotional. She gathered us around the table, kitchen table, wherever we were. Then she opened the Bible, and we read together Bible. We listen to it. We say a few things about it, what we hear, what we see in the Bible. Then we have our prayer time. We pray. We pray for matters, for our life and challenges we had, and then for friends and so forth. Anyway, in the end of the prayer time, there's a special moment. That's to forgive and ask forgiveness from each other, from the four family members they went through. If there are matters, to ask forgiveness, they did that. That was must thing. The mother was, yeah, we got to do that. So every single night, they said they think about if there's something, not digging deep, but if there is something that was going on, they they ask forgiveness or they forgive. She said, when we were teenage kids, and there is sometimes lots of going on, she said, what's the most challenging thing about their family devotional time? To ask forgiveness or forgive my siblings on something. They believe this is the wonderful treasure to bring into their personal lives as they grew up, have their own families, to bring this custom of family time and forgiveness and asking forgiveness from each other. Kindness, compassion, and respect learned at home is a lifelong treasure to build us up and to make us strong Christian people and strong families and strong churches. And many people, unfortunately, miss that. Something to take home. One time I preached a sermon titled, Family is the Best, talking about challenging topics. I had a church member, a man, at that time who was going through a hard time, difficult time with his family, and I was aware about everything. He said, "Timo, when I came to church this morning and I saw your sermon title, I thought I would have named that sermon different, title different way. Something like this, family is the worst." Then I sit down and I listen to your sermon. And the further you went, the more I realize, after this church service, after I'm done here, when I go home, I'm going to have lots of need to make it better. I'm going to have lots of adjustments to make it better. And I think this is how it needs to be. God is graceful. God is good. God understands we are not perfect. We are imperfect. But we got to keep God in the middle of our church family and our home family. Keep our families God-centered and godly means not perfect, but needing God for everything we do, everything who we are, and all that we will be, who we will be. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue our time together by the ministry of giving, if the ushers can come forward at this time.